Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Beth Belo, and you're listening to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. When the busyness and business of life gets to be too much, we sometimes find out too late that we've lost touch with what makes us unique, what makes us brilliant. We feel disconnected from our energy and even our core values. My guest today has dedicated her coaching practice to helping women in transition reconnect with their authentic selves and their purpose. And her message today isn't just for the ladies. Men will also benefit from her wisdom and her call to find simple ways to honor our strengths. Amy Kessel is a certified life coach who is enchanted by women hungry to invite change into their lives. She helps them recognize their brilliance and use it to create passion and purpose-led lives and careers. Amy has worked with many women facing life transitions to find empowerment and clarity and to create new chapters that are in alignment with their innermost selves. Hi, Amy. Welcome to the podcast. I'm very happy to have you join me today.
Thanks, Beth. I'm glad to be here.
So we got a little bit of context in that introduction, and we know that you're a certified life coach, but I know that you were other things before you were a coach. And one thing I know my listeners like to hear about is how people made transitions in their career. So would you tell us a little bit about what you did before you became a professional coach and how you went about, you know, what precipitated that transition and shift?
I had a fairly long career in social justice. I started with the Peace Corps in Africa and then went to graduate school and spent 15 years working in various both in the U.S. and overseas, communities who were interested in affecting change. So I worked in rural communities, I worked in urban communities, I worked with people who needed housing and other basic needs. I also worked with organic farmers to support that movement in Northern California. And while I loved the work, I always felt like there was something missing. I felt like I was in the general area, I was in the ballpark, but I didn't quite have my groove within that world. And then I got pregnant and had my children. I had two children. And with my second, I stayed home and entered a period of sort of soul searching where I reevaluated my career to date and thought long and hard about what I wanted to do when she was in school and decided that, again, while I was in the right general area, that my soul was not satisfied in that work and I wanted to find a way to be a change catalyst in the way that I was, in a larger sense, working with communities who wanted to change themselves from within. But I wanted to work with individuals. I really felt like that connection and the personal satisfaction that comes from co-creating a relationship with another person who's interested in affecting change in their lives was calling to me. So I explored what that might look like and chose life coaching as my path and really truly feel that it's my life work. I really feel that the change catalyst part of me is satisfied and the personal connection part of me is satisfied.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear about how you went on that. You went from a macro global level to a micro individual level, yet I bet the impact is still as profound and satisfying.
I would say more so. I think that was what was missing all along at the macro level, that I didn't know the individuals. I didn't know their stories. I couldn't see their faces. I didn't know their children.
Well, you know, you and I have talked a little bit about where you might fall on the introvert-extrovert scale. And I know that you lean a little bit more towards the introvert side. And, you know, as you were, you made this career transition and now you're an entrepreneur. And that requires a different level of energy, I'm guessing, than it did when you were working on that larger level. And so what choices have you made to help you balance and manage your introvert energy as you move between being present for your clients and your business and being present for yourself and for your family?
It's a great question. Well, first, I really think that all of us have introvert in us, that there's no purely extroverted person out there. Hard to imagine.
Yeah, I would not want to meet that person, I don't think.
Nor would I want to meet the 100% introvert.
Right. So for me, I know that the level of that, while I enjoy being out there in the world, I really require what I consider to be almost an extraordinary amount of solitude to do so. And for me, it's sort of like retreating back into my lair and cooking or regrouping, regenerating, recalibrating. And so I have to make a lot of time to do so because, like I said, it doesn't seem that the average allotment works is enough for me. I have two small children and I work from home, so I really do have to go some special lengths to get the hours that I need. But it's important to me, and because I do that, then I can be fully present with my family, who is quite demanding, and with my clients, as that is that's my job, to show up fully present so that I can reflect back to them what I see and help them to see what it is that they're expressing. So for me to do so, I have a system of self-care that includes the changes over the year, depending on the season, but pretty regularly the one constant in my self-care regime is a daily practice of meditation. And in addition to that, I have a coach who helps me work through issues that come up, both professionally and personally. And I journal. And I also program time to just be me, just be alone without others, without an agenda, without any kind of self-development work on the table in front of me, just to be. And I also choose pretty carefully among social engagements that might come my way.
And I know that another way that I've read on your blog and that we've had conversations about in terms of managing energy has to do with technology and our relationship to it. And would you mind sharing a little bit about, you know, your experience with that technology dance and what you've noticed about how it either feeds you or saps you a little bit?
Yeah, well, I think that this is the dilemma of the day. I think that all of us have a computer that's blinking at us 24/7 in our homes, and it's really up to us to moderate that involvement, to take charge of that relationship and use it so that it's a healthy relationship rather than one that's harmful. And for me, I sort of went down a path of, I called it addiction. I really felt like I became addicted to my social media outlets and even my blog for a while. So I did the technology fast. I turned off all of the bright, shiny objects and turned away from it for a few days and learned a lot, really learned how I had allowed a system of energy depletion to seep in, to set in my life, and I didn't like it at all. So the turnaround for me was to practice intentionality and to think about the energetic exchanges that were going on as I was using technology and what was prompting me to get there in the first place. So, for instance, if I was really craving a connection, if I had something on my mind that was fairly profound and I wanted to connect, well, jumping onto Twitter was not going to be a way for me to feel met. So I became mindful, and I continue to be mindful, of using the technology in a way that does allow me to connect, but not using it, not duping myself, not imagining that it's something that it's not.
That's a great point, because I hadn't really thought about that too much before, but that we can turn to technology to meet needs that might be better served with other types of, like an actual physical human connection, meeting somebody for coffee. Imagine that. We're picking up the phone. we might look to it to fill a lot of needs because we're not thinking about what it is we actually need.
That's exactly right. Yes. Exactly.
Thanks for bringing that forward. And as a coach, I'm guessing this is something that comes up with your clients quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I know that you're starting a newsletter, or you're doing sort of a subscription drive. And as part of that, you're offering a new e-guide that looks really fabulous. Can you tell us about that and what inspired you to put it together?
It's the newsletter to my new website. I've gone from coaching for moms via a business that I called Mamamorphosis to a practice that's really geared towards women who are excited and hungry about making changes in their lives, either personally or professionally. So along with this new me, this new website, I created a guide called Reclaiming Your Brilliance. And it's an e-guide that will come to your inbox when you sign up for the newsletter subscription. And the guide is really about honoring our inner selves. And I wrote it because I was reflecting on what I see around me, and I'm finding that life inspires us to spend so much more time doing and moving towards the next big thing, achieving. And in fixating on the goal, we focus on what we want to do and obtain and achieve, and along the way we neglect ourselves. And I see over and over that this focus on the end and not on who's getting to the end brings us completely out of touch with ourselves, out of touch with our values, our gifts, and our vision. And I want to turn it around. I want the readers to turn inward and to be captivated by what makes them unique. And really, I want them to remember who is doing the doing.
Ooh, that sounds like that's key. I love that. <Yeah. laughs> Because we do all this doing, but you know, we think we are what we do. And it sounds like you're asking us to step back from defining ourselves by the doing and to think about how we're being.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh. Because we aren't what we do.
So, you know, that's part of the challenge that is out there. And what do you see as the biggest obstacles that people face, and what keeps them from really shining and acknowledging their brilliance, and what makes them diminish themselves?
A couple of things. I think first, we really allow the world around us to tell us what's right for us. I think that all of us have in our vocabulary a word that I would love to see removed, the should.
Mm-hmm.
Along with the ought to, have to, you know, the I can't because the world tells me that it has to.
Yeah, be that way. I have no choice.
Exactly.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, well, obviously it's a hot button.
Yeah.
For us coaches.
Hmm.
And so we listen to what we think the neighbors want, and we ignore the little voice that really is telling us our truth. And I see it again and again. Another obstacle, I think, is that we told ourselves stories about ourselves beginning back when we were children, and a lot of these stories are no longer true, and we haven't taken the time to take them out, examine them, dust them off, and recognize that they are no longer true. So we carry them over. They're stories about how we aren't strong enough, we aren't capable, we aren't gifted enough, and we allow these stories to keep us small. And what a disservice we do to ourselves in this. And then we also, we're afraid. We diminish ourselves because we're afraid about what it would be to succeed. This is sort of a personal koan of mine. I ask it of myself, and I ask it of my clients too. What am I afraid of in terms of success? What am I afraid of in terms of success? It brings up a lot.
Great question for reflection. And you use the phrase, your personal koan, and that's K-O-A-N.
Uh-huh.
And what I've not heard that expression. What is a?
In the Zen tradition, it's a question that a master will give to a student that in understanding the koan leads to enlightenment.
Okay.
Sort of an unanswerable question.
Well, thank you for defining that, because that was a new one, and I like that. So in this e-guide, there are 6 parts, because I got a little sneak peek. And when I looked at it, I thought there were 2 that would probably be particularly helpful for introverts. And one part was my strengths, and the other was my fans. Would you share a little bit about each one of those areas?
Sure. My strengths or my gifts is the section that encourages you to inventory what you do well without trying. So what comes easy, what's your your natural gift or gifts. And it's a chance to reflect on those gifts and talents and to appreciate how different it is to live life in a way that promotes ease, i.e. by actually engaging and using and enjoying, reveling in these strengths and gifts, versus a life that's driven by shoulds, like we talked about earlier, and therefore is harder for you. You have to struggle. You have to learn, practice, get good at. Many of us embark on careers that stifle us, that we make decisions that don't serve us, and we struggle to make meaning in our lives. And instead, I think if we identify what we love to do and what we excel at, and then find ways to do more of it in all domains, we redesign lives that are more fulfilling and that are in alignment with our brilliance. So some questions that I have to ask for listeners to ask themselves in order to discover their own strengths are, what do I love so much that I lose all sense of time when I'm doing it? What's my form of genius? And my favorite, what do I find really easy?
That easy piece is important, because when we are encountering resistance, sometimes we think, well, of course it's supposed to be hard work and it should be challenging. There's that should again. If I'm not struggling, I'm not working hard, or, you know, it's not worth it or something, but,
No pain, no gain.
Thank you. Yes. No pain, no gain. And there's a book called The Path of Least Resistance. Are you familiar with that one? Robert
mm-hmm.
Fritz.
Yeah.
And I think that I have not read it. It's one of those, I think you and I were chatting before, it's one on my bookshelf that I possess, but have not read yet. But I appreciate the calling forward that, that when we are following our strengths, when we're following our gifts, that there is much more ease than there is effort.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I want to share.
What you love.
Yeah, and I want to share quickly before you talk about my fans. This mm-hmm. brings up something that you tweeted. I think it was you who tweeted this, and it was from Danielle Laporte, who you introduced me to, and she had a wonderful quote on Twitter the other day that said, your most valuable currency is what comes most naturally to you. Cash in.
Cash in. Oh, man, that's exactly right.
Yeah, so it sounds like, you know, what you're offering here in this e-guide and helping people clarify their strengths and what comes easily to them puts them on the path to perhaps cashing in.
Yes, and P.S., along the way, it's much more enjoyable.
Oh, yes, a lot more fun, a lot more laughter.
Right.
So what about my fans?
My fans encourages you to look around and gain some wisdom and insight about yourself via your friends and colleagues. It seems fairly intuitive to me, but I just wanted to make it a practical application. Think about the role that you play over and over again with your associates. Are you the one others seek out for advice? Do you find yourself at the center of the conversation or around the edges? Do you hear the same feedback about yourself from many sources? Your friends mirror back to you your brilliance, so I'm suggesting here that you drink it in and that you notice compliments that they pay you, the ways they describe you to others, the requests that they make. And I encourage the listeners to close your eyes for a moment and imagine that it's your birthday and there's a small gathering of friends who've come together to celebrate you. They pass the mic and they talk about you. And notice that there are common themes, that they will for sure echo certain things about you that they've all noticed and that they all appreciate.
Mm.
And this is a reinforcement of what you already know to be true about yourself. So I just ask that you use that to help you along your way to further define who you are and revel in what makes you brilliant.
That's a wonderful exercise. And even actually just thinking about the small gathering of friends, I actually get little prickles in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking about, you know, how warm that would feel to reflect on what the contribution that you're making to the world and how people see you, because sometimes often they see us much more clearly than we see ourselves.
Uh-huh. Yes, that's a great point, yeah. And use that information, mine it, apply it.
And even I've had people, I have one friend in particular who I met through coach training who also an introvert and was very good about asking for feedback and saying, you know, what did you like about that? What do you think I do really well? What do you see as my strengths? And she wasn't waiting for any particular special occasion or reason to ask these. It wasn't that she was digging for recommendations or anything. She was simply on that self-discovery place and really was wanting feedback. And I know that it's not always easy to ask for, but boy, it was fun to give.
I was just going to say, how did it feel to give her that feedback?
It felt wonderful. It felt really wonderful. And it was really a gift, you know, and I really respected her for asking that. And I thought, what a bold and beautiful thing. And something that we don't do often enough because we feel like, oh, I'm finished talking about myself. Now you tell me how wonderful I am, you know?
Right.
And that's not really what it's about at all, especially with people that you feel safe with and that you trust and where there's a mutual respect and love. It's really a gift to be able to share that sort of feedback.
I agree.
To shift gears here, since, you know, kind of taking, riding the wave of the new year, and especially since you're making this transition in your business from focusing on the coaching for moms to focusing on women and their brilliance, what are you most looking forward to in this coming year in 2011?
I'm so pleased that the new year coincided with the new business for me. So I'm really excited about new offerings. I've got two things that are late stage development and should be coming out in, I'm hoping, early March. The first is a digital product for women experiencing life transition, and it's called What's Next. It's going to be a downloadable combination of written content, audio, video, and loads of worksheets that you could do all at once or you could do in bits and pieces as you move through transition. So it's meant for women who are experiencing career change, divorce, an empty nest, a new prognosis, or even I found that clients could have sort of organically shift inside and suddenly look around and say, hey, my life doesn't fit right anymore. I'm ready for something new and different. So it helps guide you through the transition and encourages you to use that fertile ground that gets exposed in times of transition to understand what you really want to create for yourself. So super excited about that. And then the other new offering is a series of virtual group coaching circles that should be starting in March also. These are going to be small for 6 women who are ready to make a big move either professionally or personally and who want that support and accountability of a facilitated group. And I love this. I've experienced wonderful results myself as a client in a group and also have really enjoyed facilitating groups. So I'm excited to pull this forward as one of my main offerings this year. So I think the first circle will convene again probably mid-March.
And for those who haven't participated in any sort of virtual offering like this, what's the format?
It's a call once a week. So it will be, like I said, there'll be 6 participants. They'll run for 10 weeks, and there'll be one call a week for 90 minutes where there's a curriculum that we follow. So it's sort of a facilitated conversation. And then there will be some sort of small group breakout exercises as well. And in between our phone calls, there's a private online community that serves as a forum and a way to share insights, changes, challenges, to do homework and post it and reflect on what's come up as you're in the group.
So it sounds like you could have participants from all over the country or even all over the world.
All over the world, absolutely.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of all over the world, somewhere out there in the world, there's an introvert island. I just know it. And if there isn't, we're going to create it. And I asked this question of all my guests, and that would be if you were granted a year's vacation on Introvert Island and you only had room in your three books in your suitcase, what three would you take with you and why?
I love this question, and I've listened to several of your podcasts and appreciate what your guests bring forward. My first response was, the smart aleck in me said, but I have a Kindle.
Right.
So I can bring as many.
Thousands.
Hundreds, yes, thousands of books. But if there were no way to charge my Kindle and I were limited to 3 books.
There you go.
The first book that I would bring is Twyla Tharp. I've been reading her, A Creative Habit, and I love it. It's inspiring. It's straightforward. She's a genius. And it's helping me to reframe many different areas of my life and to look at them creatively where I might not have before. It's also really practical, and there are a lot of exercises, and I would love to take the time to do that. So, Twyla Tharp. I'd also bring Dr. Clarissa Pinkola Estes' huge, dense book, Running with the Wolves, which I have tried to read 3 or 4 times and haven't given myself the time and space to do so, and I know it's chock full of wisdom and insight, and I want to read it, so I will. And then, believe it or not, I'd read the Old Testament, which I've never done, other than in small bits for certain holidays, and I want to. So, yeah, I would do that.
Well, that's one thing I've appreciated about you, Amy, is that there's a grounding in faith and spirituality, that it might not be, you know, what you coach about, but it's part of who you are, and it comes through in warmth and connection, and it's something that it makes you a lovely person.
Thank you. So
knowing what a lovely person you are, if someone wants to get to know you, how can they find you and learn more about your services and all the great things that you have cooking up?
Well, I'm not sure the date of this podcast airing, but on January 25th is my official launch. So on that day, go to my website, which is my name, www.amykessel.com. So it's AmyKessel.com. And I will be doing a giveaway. There'll be a couple of prizes. There'll be some guest bloggers who've put some great stuff up for the day, sort of an online launch party. And I can also be found on Facebook. My page there is Amy Kessel, Transformative Life Coach. I tweet at Amy Kessel CPC.
Yeah, so we can find you at all sorts of places. And your launch sounds very exciting, and my intention is to post this podcast on the day of your launch. So hopefully we will certainly try to find a way to promote that on Facebook and Twitter as well, so that folks can listen and hear you on your launch day. And I'm excited that we were able to be part of that.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. It's a wonderful addition to the day. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, thank you so much for being here, Amy. You've offered us some really wonderful insights and really practical thoughts and inspiring thoughts. Can you be inspiring and practical at the same time? I think so.
That's my intention, so yes.
Yeah. So intention fulfilled. and I know I'm inspired, so I'm guessing others are as well. So thank you so much for sharing your energy and enthusiasm with us today.
Thank you for having me. I've loved being here. Thanks, Beth.
This is Beth Below, the Introvert Entrepreneur. I hope you enjoyed this podcast interview with Amy Kessel, Certified Life Coach. Even if you missed her virtual business launch, you can still visit her website for resources and inspiration for the journey. To be notified of future podcasts from The Introvert Entrepreneur, you can subscribe to the RSS feed or visit iTunes. To find me, just type the word introvert in the search bar in the audio podcasts section. If you enjoy these podcasts, I invite you to leave a review on iTunes and share these interviews with friends, family, and colleagues. You can also find out more about my coaching services, workshops, and speaking engagements at theintrovertentrepreneur.com. And be sure to join us for more community and conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/theintrovertentrepreneur. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time.